Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey,
what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Last time on The End of Time and Other Bothers.
Welcome to the past.
Hello, Mr. Minotaur.
So as you all know, the end of time happened because you experienced it.
Lousy Minotaur, take some of this.
Ow.
You're taking me to the Academy of the Fallen?
You flip open the file. You are looking at your kindergarten scores. You see photos of you.
So Darcy's brain about 3 minutes ago said, you could stay here, but I'm leaving.
The Stolen Fae.
I'm sorry? Most magic was removed from your future. However, in this time, magic does exist.
Long live Boltius.
So you're from Balgamar?
Of course, we're still in Balgamar. We're just in the old-timey part.
There's no Boltius!
Long live Boltius!
Oh, no, yes, long live Boltius, except Boltius hasn't been born yet.
Traditionally, we would have 500 to 600 knights working to fight and hold back the Shattering. However, it all failed. We need you three. And then Blad just passes out. Well, I think that went pretty well, actually.
Fun's over. Time to save the world.
We enter the Academy of the Fallen, gliding down empty corridors worn smooth by many feet. We work our way up the stairwell to the second floor, where we hear a murmuring of voices coming from behind a door labeled Briefing Room. Inside, we see Strand Jenkins taking Blatt, Egerton, and Darcy through a series of endless paperwork. They are in shock as they fill out form after form. A few minutes later, she opens the door and leads the three of them out, each hefting their issued clothing and following dutifully behind her. She leads them up the stairs and down the hall to the dormitories. One of the dormitory doors is open, and inside is a large room filled with beds and cots stacked on top of each other. Five of the beds have been made. The rest are empty. The room feels stale and cold, but there is a window looking out at the night, and the roar of the waterfall can be heard in the distance. So you're standing in a dormitory holding some clothes. You're holding a book.
That suit cost me a week's salary, and now I'm wearing what appears to be pajamas that in no way is keeping my wings in check.
I don't have a home.
All that furniture I bought, it's now at some future point, frozen in time, or perhaps doesn't exist at all.
You guys see how pretty it is outside, though?
I don't understand how you can be so positive. Did you hear anything she said? The world is ceasing to exist.
No, she said the world did cease to exist, but then we came back.
But do you believe all that stuff? Do you think we're supposed to, what, save the world?
Well, I've got my fairy cake, so that helps.
You know what? I could actually use a fairy cake.
Want a fairy cake?
Yeah, please, please.
Why don't you start with a half? They're pretty strong.
Yeah, okay. Here you go. Thank you. Thank you. I start munching on the fairy cake.
Awesome. So this is our first use of a move. So fairy cakes actually have a move associated with them, and you had some damage at one point.
I had one damage.
When I feed someone one of my fairy cakes, sweets or nom-noms, I roll plus wisdom, and on a plus 10, I heal for, well, yeah, we'll do this first.
On a 10 plus.
Ooh, there it is.
Plus wisdom.
Plus wisdom, so that's 10.
Okay, so you heal.
I heal for D8 plus wisdom. So that's 6 plus 1.
So I only need 1.
So Darcy is at max. This cake was amazing. So that move, you just have to read what happens if you had rolled a 7 to 9.
It comes with a cost. They are either drunken, blind, tripping, etc.
That would have been fun, actually.
You're still healed. Okay. Eating this cake, like, give us that, because it's a really powerful experience.
Wow. I've never actually had a fairy cake. This is really good. And
why, thank you.
Yeah, do you make them yourself?
I do, and I infuse all of them with a little bit of love.
I can feel that.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
Let's hug it out.
Okay.
There it is.
And I sort of cling to him a little longer than maybe is comfortable.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. Now.
Thanks.
Okay, good stuff.
Thank you.
If you excuse me, I'll be vomiting in the corner in sheer terror.
I'm going to sleep on this side of the room.
Is that a bit of a sandwich? Where'd you get that?
About 1,500 years from now.
Okay, you know what? I just think we just need to sleep on this, right? Because this is a lot of information to take in. And I'm hoping that when we wake up in the morning, none of this will have happened. And we'll have never met each other. And I could just go back to ladling Impescore zesty golden soup to people who couldn't care less about me. Okay?
Seems that the fairy cakes may have taken her down a dark path.
So, just to sum up, you give presentations of some kind, and you, my good lady, ladle cheap foodstuffs out to people.
I do.
Yes, yes.
I worked in a filing room. Thank heavens we three have been chosen to be the saviors of the entire multiverse.
Oh, Loxen, preserve us.
If we go to sleep now, we'll be about 10 hours closer to the future event in which all reality ceases to exist. Well, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The End of Time and Other Bothers, an improvised fantasy role-playing game set in the world of Alba Salix. Your game master is Sean Howard, with players Michael Howie, Marisa King, and Carter Siddle. Episode 3, The Academy of the Fallen, Part 2.
So, morning is coming up, and the dining room is on the first level, back where you guys went to admissions, first came in the building. And it's basically a cafeteria setup. So there's a big wall at the end with a grate that's down. And you see this imp, this little imp, running around, like trying to jump up and push the grate up. And he's just jumping up at the grate.
Oh, can't reach.
Maybe you should go help your little friend.
I'll go help my little friend. So I walk up to the imp and I ask, is there anything that you require in any way?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, please, trying to serve won't open.
So I reach up and I open it all the way up.
Oh, thank you. Oh, your evil ship. Oh, I bow before you. I am not worthy.
And he's like literally clinging to your feet.
The fact that you were unable to raise the grate is none of my concern, but thank you. Do you have any hot pockets in this era?
I have but red scum beneath your boots, your evil ship! I am but your faithful servant!
I admit you do come from an earlier time, and perhaps your education is not quite up to snuff to my era, but that does not mean that you're the scum beneath my feet. Please, do you have any toast? Any potatoes at all?
Oh, yes, your evil ship, I have toast! Yes!
And he runs all the way around, and you see him hop up onto, like, a bench, then hop down and like push it on wheels over and then hop back up and like grab some toast and then hop down. Like he's right there, but he runs all the way around the door and like comes and holds it out on open hands for you.
Your evil ship Smeagol brings you toast.
Plate would be nice.
Oh, yes.
And he runs back and you take the toast or no?
No, he'll take
it back.
So
he runs back with the toast, runs around, pushes the chair, holding the toast in his mouth, climbs up, grabs a plate, puts the toast on the plate, climbs back down, comes running out of breath.
Oh, Smeagol, sorry, sir. Toast on plate. You are evil ship.
Perhaps now a plate with toast that hasn't been in your mouth. I don't know how you usually do it here. Do you have any of the...
Yes! Smeagol fixed!
And he takes his hands and rips off the piece that was in his mouth and holds the plate back up for you.
I take the plate and smile politely, then turn immediately around and walk towards one of the tables to sit down to eat.
Oh, I hope he's happy!
And he runs back around and climbs up on his thing and is looking... He's waiting to serve somebody.
I walk over and I say, hello there. Do you have any Impescor original?
Hello?
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 I'm right here.
What?
Down. You have to, you're up high.
He leans forward. He's like, oh, yes.
Oh, what can Smeagol get you? See, it's Smeagol, not Smeagol. I fixed it. What can Smeagol get you?
Could I get an Impresco plane, please?
Yes!
And he runs, slides the thing over, gets another piece of toast, waits, slides it over, puts it on a plate, leans over, and then just drops it.
I got it. We're good. We're okay. This toast, I'll enjoy the toast. I've not had toast in a long time. I don't think I've ever had toast. But do you perhaps have any Impresco? I'll take Zesty.
Another Impresco?
Yeah, this is not Impresco. This is toast.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I believe that this is, in fact, bread that has been heated.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the Impresco. It's very kind of you, and I look forward to sampling it. I'm going to go sit with my friend and eat it.
Wait, is he your friend?
Well, we've not known each other too long, but I like to think we're friends.
Wait!
He scoops some oatmeal, and he grabs some fruit, and he puts it on a plate, leans over, and drops it.
Oh, I got that one, too. You're quick, but I'm pretty quick, too.
Oh, you tell his evil ship, Smeagol, his friend, too.
Oh, okay. I don't think he's all that evil. I think he's maybe just a little cranky, not much of a morning person. He was mumbling something about files and a furnace in his sleep. But I'm sure that he wants to be your friend, too. He does seem very, very kind. His name is Blatt, by the way. Blatt.
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 Yes, Blatt. Blatt. Yes. Blatt. Yes, just like that, Blatt. But only one at a time. Blatt. Just the one. Okay. Blatt. I'm going to go eat this now. Thank you.
Blatt. But was it Blatt? No, Blatt.
And at this point, I appear in the doorway looking like gloom personified. So my normal spiky hair has drooped. I slept in my cadet clothes that I was given yesterday, so they're all rumpled and everything. And my shoulders are all hunched, and I just say, the world has still ended. Do you have any snappies?
Oh, snappies? It takes some toast and it snaps it. Snappies!
And it goes to give it to you and it goes, oh, blat. And it runs and gets a plate, puts it on the plate, and then gets back up on it. It's like climbing up and off of this little ladder, and it gets on this ladder and it like pushes it over
to
you.
No, this is toast crumbs. This is not snappies.
Yes,
snappies are this wafer-like thing where when you add water, they pop and crackle and they expand. This is toast.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's a snappy.
Okay. And I just take it And I shuffle over to the table where the others are and I say, they don't have snappies.
No, but here, you can have my toast.
I have toast.
Not like mine, you don't.
I see our old friend on the roof at the end of time. The hunter to some. Greg the Minotaur to others. My Grishka. I watched him stare down his end. The end of us all. But unlike us, he chose to face it alone. When my Grishka ran, I broke. The river floods and changes course. Cities underwater. Death walks the land. I risk everything. Perhaps we are doomed. Perhaps I am too weak.
It's the beginning of the middle of the end of time and other bothers.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hi, I'm Michael Howie. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to The End of Time and Other Bothers.
Oh, Sneggle wants to thank you too.
Yeah, and if you can, please review our show on iTunes. If you liked it, that is. I mean, don't leave a review if you didn't like it. Well,
some people don't like Sneggle?
No, I'm sure it's not you, Sneggle. It's probably Carter.
Sneggle likes everyone, Michael.
Now, folks, feel free to share episodes with your friends and spread the word with the hashtag OtherBothers.
Oh, Sneggle likes hashtags. Sneggle cooks them with rice and gravy and snappies.
Please consider supporting us on Patreon. $2 goes a long way, and there are a lot of great perks. Just go to patreon.com/AlbaSalix.
Alba Salix.
Alba Salix, ALBASALIX.
CPX.
Hey, Eli, why couldn't I record this spot with Marisa or Carter? Were they busy today or something? Oh,
Sneggle, very popular. Sneggle has agent. Do you have agent, Michael?
No, I don't. But speaking of agents, have you ever read Lord of the Rings? Maybe seen the movie?
No.
What about The Hobbit? There's something about you that feels pretty familiar to me.
Maybe.
All I'm saying is your name is one letter off from being a major Tolkien character.
Sneggle was in the movies?
No, not you particularly, Sneggle, but someone an awful lot like you, and it feels like someone may have taken some shortcuts, and I'm a little worried that you're going to set a bad precedent for the show.
Would Sneggle get my own trailer? Oh, I want a trailer, Michael!
We'll have to put that into the budget, maybe, for season 2, but people, if they support Patreon, maybe we can set that as one of the goals.
P-X-C-
All right, I'm done for the day. No, I'm going to my trailer. See you later.
Magnishka, wake up. Wake up, please. Greg.
Where? Oh, where? Where?
Thank goodness you are alive. You are safe.
Anonka?
Yes, it is me.
Am I dreaming?
Grishka, no. You are alive. You are safe in my heart.
What? The last thing I remember is running like prey.
You were prey. You were the prey, Grishka. It is what they wanted. It was what they wanted me to do, to let it happen. But I could not let it happen. Not to you.
But the plan, Anonka, at what cost?
I don't know. I don't know, my Grishka, what cost. I just know that this cannot happen. It cannot.
Anonka, what have you done? No, don't answer. Take my hands. It is done. We will find a way.
I know we will. We would make it happen together.
But first, we need to find me some pants.
Grishka, where we are going, we don't need pants.
We're back in the Academy of the Fallen. And we're moving down the main corridor, heading towards the cafeteria. But we're moving quite slowly, almost like we're shuffling. And that's because we're following Cyrus the Halfling, a grumbling man just shy of 4 feet tall, with a pipe in the corner of his mouth. And he's barefoot, and his slacks drag a little on the ground as he shambles forward.
Cyrus, do this. Cyrus, do that. Always another errand for Cyrus. If you will, lend me your attention. It's time for your assessment. Go, go, go. Go, heroes. If you'll just come this way, please.
I assume this is our physical assessment to see if we're healthy enough to eventually be killed in some horrible manner.
I ladle soup for a living.
What flavors of soup?
Original, zesty, party flavored, and golden.
I never really like having zesty in the morning.
That's fair.
Original tends to be my go-to. But that. Oh.
Excuse me, if you all just get your seats, thank you. There's 3 seats and it's a giant room. And it is sort of like a opal color, but the walls sort of have like an iridescent hue to them.
Very pretty.
And there's just 3 seats. And you see a man in a lab coat who is holding a clipboard. All right, fine. Sit down. If everyone could just have a seat, we'll get started right away.
I slouch into my seat.
I slide into mine.
I sit down into mine comfortably and take out my notebook.
I am super excited because this is my first assessment. Whew, I'm sure it's going to go fine. I've had a few hundred years to prepare. So, what's going to happen is you're going to be going through a series of, let's say, experiments, and they're going to assess your abilities, your innate talent, and your strengths. Huh?
Excellent.
Are you experimenting on us?
Well, not quite the response I was expecting, but yes, we'll carry on.
I have a question.
Yes, okay.
What was your name?
Ziff.
Thank you, Ziff.
You're welcome. Now, yes, we will be experimenting on you. You signed a waiver and a disclaimer yesterday.
I wasn't told I was signing anything like that.
It was in the admissions packet. I have it right here. You hold it up if you'd like to review your signature.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay. So how this is going to work is each one of you is going to, one at a time, just enter the machine, and you are going to be assessed, and then you will come back out and have a seat while the other two get assessed. It's very straightforward, and then we'll get your results, and we'll get you right into class. So, who's first?
The fairy.
Very good.
Okay.
Come forward.
All right, thank you.
So, Egerton stands up, steps forward, and literally a wall just drops down right behind him. And you're in a much smaller room now, the two of you. And Egerton, you hear a voice. It's Ziff, and it's sort of echoing off the walls. Okay, just give me a second. It's Egerton, right?
That is correct, sir.
Right. The room lights up, and you are in a royal cathedral. And light is coming down out of one point way, way up and coming right down on a stone that has a sword coming out of it.
Neat.
Okay, so your first test is ready. You just need to draw the sword.
Okay. So I take out my notebook and I sit down cross-legged with one of my pencils. Hold up my hands to try and get some perspective measurements and start sketching. And, you know, I was never very good at drawing, but I thought that it was something I should probably practice anyway. And you'll see sometimes in my notebooks, if you go through them, little sketches of things. Mostly it's the buildings.
Outside, you hear a... Well, that's okay. It's okay. There's a lot of tests. Don't worry. Stay in there, Egerton. And suddenly the room changes. And you are on a ledge against a wall. You can feel the wall behind you. And 40 feet away on the far side of the room is another platform. And you see Ziff standing there, and he waves at you.
Hi, Ziff.
Hey, Egerton. In between you is basically roiling magma. Be careful, Egerton. Don't lose your footing.
Okay.
And he's messing around with a contraption, and it looks like sort of a cannon. And he presses a lever on it and steps back, and he goes, okay, so we're going to start at 1 per second. And suddenly the cannon fires an arrow straight at you.
Uh-oh. Well, I duck.
Okay, so you duck down. It, like, pings off the wall above you, but you almost lose your balance when you duck because it's a pretty narrow ledge you're on. And it falls down, and suddenly it's firing another arrow.
I have a question.
Okay, the arrow strikes you in the leg.
Ow!
Well, that's not good. It's going up to 3 per second.
Why?
Now.
Why is this a thing?
And now the thing is starting to rotate left and right. And it's going chook, 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 chook.
I have a question.
another arrow strikes you in the shoulder.
Ow! Why are you doing this?
You do manage to dodge a bunch of them, by the way. I say, even with one in your shoulder and one in your leg, you're doing not bad. Dodging, they're firing. Okay, you're doing not bad, Egerton. We're going to go up to 5 per second.
Why would you do more?
Try not to get hit.
I don't want to get hit. It hurts when I get hit.
So he puts it up to full, and it's like, chook, 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 chook. You guys outside hear a... And then you hear... Okay, the room goes dark. Sorry about that, Egerton. You know, see if you can, well, maybe leave the one on your shoulder, but you might break off the one on your leg.
Okay.
You're down 5 hit points.
Jeez.
Shocker.
Okay, so the lights come back up, and you are sitting in a classroom in one of those uncomfortable little wooden chairs with the little extra uncomfortable from the arrow shafts. So you have 60 seconds before the candle burns down and ignites the oil.
Which candle would that be?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. And you hear a lever get thrown, and all of a sudden oil starts pouring out across the floor down towards you, seeping down towards you, and a candle appears in the center of the floor and is slowly burning down. Rather rapid for a candle.
I don't think you have our best interests at heart right now, sir.
Your time has started. Focus on your test.
Oh, okay.
Question number one.
I get up and I walk over and extinguish the candle.
you just hand goes through it, but it burns you.
Oh, that, why?
You're losing time.
Question number one. Okay.
Griffin is to Eagle as the golden Caramont is to...
Raptor.
Bing! The substance most accepting of transmutation is A, lead, B, iron,
C, copper. D, gold.
Gold.
Ding! What is the boiling point of an egg in pyrometers?
We never learn metric, darn it.
And the candle stops. Hey, I think we found your thing here, Egerton. That was pretty good.
Could I have a bandage, please?
Lat and Darcy, Egerton suddenly appears in front of you. Describe what they see, Egerton.
I have an arrow through my shoulder. I have a broken arrow in my leg. And I have another one in my stomach. But I'm still smiling.
Sweet Loxen, what happened to you?
I
Ziff is suddenly there. Hop! No cheating! Okay, who's next?
The demon told me he wants to go next.
What? Hey!
Yes, perfect! Boom!
Darcy, you are now sitting alone as Egerton crawls out the door past you on his way to the nurse's office. Blatt, you're in a seat in a classroom, and you've got a little writing desk that you're crammed into. Oh, wait, I almost forgot again. You hear a button press, and you see oil start to, like, flood the room, and a candle appears. It's slowly burning down. Okay, so you have 60 seconds before the place goes up in flames. So you just need to answer as many of these questions as you can. Let's go. What color are the following words? Grass.
Green.
Mm-hmm. Sky.
Blue.
Fear.
Silver?
Clothing.
Clothing can be many colors.
I need a color.
Rainbow?
Empathy.
Purple.
Bing! Wow, that was amazingly well done. That's awesome. Wow, you're the first one to ever get that one.
I have no idea what I just did.
The room goes black. Opens up again, and you are literally on the edge of a precipice, like you're about to step off a doorway, but there's like nothing down there. It's just water. Oh, watch your step. Watch your step. So, Blatt, you are basically, a door is behind you, but it's closed, and there's a tiny little like 6-inch lip that you're standing on, and in front of you is water, your favorite, and there are dark shapes moving in the water. And there are stilts, little like 1, maybe 2-inch by 2-inch pieces of wood that are sticking up out of the water every 6 or 7 feet haphazardly. And on the far side, you see an open door. What's going to happen is I'm going to press this button and the lip you're standing on is slowly going to go away. And so all you got to do is just leap from little stick to stick, stilt, to the other side.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to do this. I begin unbuttoning my cadet shirt, and I toss it away into the water below.
Oh, my. You definitely keep in shape.
I unfurl my wings, and I simply fly
to the opposite side.
Okay. Do you have flight? You have glide, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So there's a silence, and then you hear a bing. Outside, he's like, no, that's not fair. I'll adjust that later. Okay, well, no flying next time. Okay, and the room goes dark.
I'm gonna need a shirt.
Room comes up light, there's no shirt. You are in an outdoor marketplace. You're just standing in this marketplace suddenly, and there's yelling and vendors, and you're holding what appears to be cart-like device that's made out of a metal cage on 4 tiny wheels and a push bar. And to your right are 3 goblins, each with their own sort of push carty device. And one of them gives you the finger. And you hear,
welcome to the Super Bizarre Sweeps. Every contestant gets 90 seconds to follow the red path around the square. Be the first back here with the most expensive items in your cart. And remember, anything goes.
And a horn goes, and the goblins all rush forward with their carts following this path through the bazaar.
I quickly begin to follow one of the goblin carts, not knowing what in this area is worth anything at all, just to see what they're doing.
Okay, you see like one of the goblins
kind of grabs something from a vendor and throws it in the cart, and another one basically rams the guy in first place, and he screams, and their carts get all tangled up, and there's just one cart now in front of you, and he's like racing towards this one booth.
I pick up my cart and I begin racing towards the first booth.
Picking up? So, okay. Yeah, I love it.
Racing towards the goblin heading to the one stall. And when I get to him, I ignore all of the merchandise. I pick the goblin up and I place him inside the cart.
Okay, roll defy danger.
8.
Okay, so you can grab the goblin, but you'd have to let go of the cart. Like you can grab the goblin, but the other guys are like getting back up and they're gonna pass you.
Okay. So I pick up the goblin.
And they race past.
And I immediately run after the last cart to see if I can grab onto it.
Okay, so you're just carrying the goblin without your cart?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The goblin's like, hey! Hey, hey! He's like still trying to grab things from passing vendors and trying to like hold on to them. Hey! No, what are you doing?
I allow him to grab stuff. Fine! Go ahead! Technically, this is mine.
Okay, so you catch up to the next guy because he stopped and he's pouring all the stuff from one vendor who's yelling at him. Hey, what are you doing? He's pouring it all into his cart.
I take the goblin that I'm holding. I put him inside the cart and I begin pushing the cart, grabbing at the second goblin.
Okay. Wait a minute. You're trying to push the cart. You shove a goblin in it. You're trying to push the cart and grab another goblin?
Yeah. So that I can put that second goblin into the cart.
Okay, I think you do that, but you wouldn't be pushing the cart. Like, you throw a goblin in, you can then try and grab another goblin.
Okay, yes, yes. So I'll put the first goblin in, I'll try to grab the second goblin.
Okay, so roll again.
11.
Oh my god, I was so gonna have the one goblin climb out while you put the other one in. Okay, you do it. What happens?
I grab the second goblin.
Hey!
Come here, you!
What are you doing?
I throw him into the cart on top of the first goblin, hoping to keep them both down, and then I begin pushing the cart with the two goblins and whatever they manage to grab from the stalls.
Okay, so in this time, the goblin in front of you reached back, so you hear the bong, but then you race in right after, okay, to the finish line. So you see Ziv appear with his clipboard, and he's sort of looking at you, and he's looking at the cart, and he's like, What was that, Blatt?
You can't put a price on the lives of goblins.
One of the goblins is like, you tell him!
And whatever this necklace is that he grabbed, this might be worth something as well.
And a sound goes, boom! And Ziff's like, well, it's most unusual, but yes, I guess you passed. Okay. All right, so the room goes dark. Okay, Darcy. You hear ding, and Blatt suddenly appears, looking a little befuddled. He's naked from the waist up. His wings are fully unfurled, and he's holding a necklace.
Sounds like you did very well.
I don't like to reveal my wings in public.
Why not? They're cool.
Please don't look at me.
Okay, Ziff appears. He's like, okay, Darcy, you're last. Let's go.
I walk back into the room at this point.
Okay. So you come limping, half went, well, you probably would have healed yourself with the fairy cakes.
Yeah, a little sore, though.
Roll the fairy cakes.
Roll fairy cakes. That's an 8 plus wisdom. Total of 9.
You're blind, but you're fully healed. Happens every once in a while. It's a side effect, right? Wears off.
Too many Blatt? Fairy cakes.
Blatt?
Yes, I'm over here.
Blatt, I'm feeling a bit better, but I'm Blatt, is that you? What were these big leathery things?
That, please, never mind the leathery things. You don't need to be
It's very
touching.
Soft, yes, but warm,
no,
too.
You don't need to manhandle what you're feeling. Don't quit grabbing!
Sorry. I've just never felt something so luxurious.
Yes. Have you gone fairy cake blind?
I mixed the fairy cake with the potion the healer gave me. And, you know, sometimes when you ride the bull, you get thrown off.
Okay, so, Mies, you suddenly appear in a room, and you're alone, and you hear Ziff's voice echoing all around you. He's like, okay, so we're going to get this started. Here we go. Just do your best, Darcy.
Okay.
Oh, there's the spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Okay, and you hear some levers, and then all of a sudden it goes totally dark and comes up, and you're in a carnival. Like a future carnival, like Balgamar Carnival.
I'm back.
And you see a man and everything just sort of like no matter which way you turn, you keep being drawn back to this. It's like a dream. One of those games where you have to swing the sledgehammer to ring the bell.
Yep.
And he's like, step up, try your strength. What about you, young lady?
I think I have to.
Here you go. And he hands you the sledgehammer and he pretends that he almost drops it. Ha ha ha, and a crowd's gathering. Here you go.
And I grab the hammer.
Swing it. Show these men what ladies of Balgamar have.
And I sort of mechanically just swing it over my shoulder and bring it down on the thing.
So the little thing goes, boop. It's just sort of silent. He's like, come on. No, come on. You can do better than that. Give it a swing.
So then I pick it up again and I give it a bit of a harder swing. And then I do it again.
You hear Ziff go, this is the part where everyone's supposed to be laughing. That's really bad.
I can't believe that you've brought me to your stupid past and trapped me in this stupid made-up world to test some sort of, strength or something that I have? When I get out of here, I'm going to take this hammer, and I am going to picture your head, and I'm going to do this to it. And I take that hammer, and I bring it down with all my might.
Roll plus strength.
I'm a 9, so I have no plus anything, right?
Okay. No.
10.
What happens?
I swing that hammer, and the stone or whatever it is just soars right up. And keeps going and breaks through the top of it and goes soaring over the people. And the crowds cheer. And there's a new champion in imaginary carnival world.
That was really good, Darcy, though I'm a little afraid.
You should be. You should be.
Outside, you guys hear bing, bing, bing. And then you see a bell come flying up and land on the ground. Clangity clang. Okay, so Mies, you are standing on, you suddenly just almost lose your balance. You're standing on a tiny lip, maybe 5 inches, that's sticking out from the wall. And even with it stretching forward for about 30 feet are just gleaming nails, like sharp all up, about an inch apart all the way across. And you see there's a platform that's level with it and a door on the far side. And you hear Ziff go, I don't think I'm going to say anything. You got to get to the door. And then it goes silent.
You're in so much trouble, Ziff. So, I have delicate little human feet. So I do not like where this is going. But I know for this to end, I just have to get across it.
The lip beneath your feet starts to slowly retract.
So I leap onto the nails and I just run on the ball of my feet as much as I can. And the whole time I'm going, going to do so many horrible things to you, Ziff.
You guys hear that? You hear a... And there's oil starting to flood the room.
What is going on?
And a candle appears. You're not going to like this one. That's a flammable oil. And the candle, you have 60 seconds. Just answer as many questions as you can on the test in front of you. First question. Wagon A leaves Paradox with two horses pulling it.
I hate these puzzles.
2 hours later, Wagon B leaves Paradox traveling in the same direction with 3 horses pulling it. How far from Paradox will the second wagon overtake the first?
Wherever your head ends up.
Bing! What is the boiling point of an egg in pyrometers?
10.
Bing! Calculate the solution to the following equation. And the wall in front of you, the chalkboard, just fills with this massive equation.
Well, if you take the hypotenuse of the Cor Chematy and the Snig and Fliggin, it's going to be the 1 over the 3 or the 5.
15 seconds.
And it's 324.
Bing! Darcy, you appear. Her feet are bloody.
This hurts so much.
What hurts so much?
My feet! I had to walk across a bed of nails!
Did you get shot a bunch?
Oh, you got some arrows. Look at my feet!
I can't see your feet.
Ugh. And I sit down.
Gone cake blind.
Have you not got a shirt yet?
No.
You hear Ziv's voice. I was going to come out and congratulate you all, but I'm a little afraid of Darcy right now. So if you'll just go across the hall to your classroom, the adjunct has set up your first class.
I can't walk.
I can't see.
I'm a little cold.
Yeah, so if you guys want to carry Darcy up to the healer on the second floor, then you could go to your classroom.
Thank you.
We're going to cut to a little bit later in time. Darcy's feet are bandaged. Blatt, you found another shirt.
Excellent.
Do you want to cut slits in it? No, you want to keep that stuff
hidden away.
Under wraps.
I'm a man with red skin. I'm not a demon.
And you can see now again, roughly, a little bit. Roughly. It's a little fuzzy right now.
Fuzzy is fun,
Egerton,
though.
But yeah, it's a good time. And you guys have filed into your classroom. It's quite a large classroom. Probably could fit like 50 to 60 students or what have you in it. There are chairs that have built-in desks. There's a chalkboard. And on the chalkboard is written Ego Plebeium. And on three desks are three name tags, one for each of you. So Darcy, Blatt, and Egerton. There's a desk with your names on a little card. And on each desk are some books. You all sitting down?
We are.
Okay. Yes.
So, Darcy, you have two books. One has a sword on it, and one has a holy symbol on it.
Ooh.
Blatt, you have two books. One has horns on it, and one has a sword on it. Egerton.
You have eight books.
You have one book.
I only have one book. Everyone else gets it. But, you know, I only need one book because it's a better book.
And it has a plant symbol on it.
Ooh. I open up the book with the holy symbol on it.
Okay. It's like written in some weird hieroglyphs.
Can any of you read your books?
I open my book and try to read it.
Same thing. It's just weird.
After attempting to read it, I turn and say, no, I cannot.
Well, this is the best classroom ever.
I open up the horn book.
Same thing. It's just strange lines and almost like back when you were filing where you would have seen circuit diagrams and stuff. It's almost like that.
I hold the book away from me as far as I can to see if I can make out a pattern.
Nope.
I put the book down and then rest my head on my desk.
I think the books are broken.
Shouldn't we have a teacher?
Is there a chalkboard?
Yes, something is written on it.
But does it say ego?
Plebeian.
Plebeian?
Plebeium.
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 That's what I said.
Does anyone speak Latin?
Let's just say my ego is feeling quite plebeium at the moment.
Hello, is anyone here? We're in a classroom and we don't know what we're doing. Ego plebeium.
Your books both glow.
I think it's a magic word.
There's no such thing as a magic word.
I know, but look at my books.
They're glowing.
Yes.
Okay, what was the word?
Ego plebeium.
Both your books light up again.
I look at my book and say, ego plebeium.
It lights up.
Magic.
So apparently saying my ego is feeling rather plebeium wasn't quite correct.
You have to say them together, Blatt.
Hold the horn book up to my face. And I whisper, ego plebeium.
It lights up.
So then I...
Which book do you open?
The holy symbol book.
Okay.
For me, yep. Obviously.
I open up the horned book.
Okay.
I wasn't given a choice.
Blatt, you are suddenly sucked into your book, like ripped apart into the book in pieces. It's sort of painful. Jeez. And
it's sort of painful.
As ripping apart is.
And suddenly you are standing on the desolate plains. And fire is roaring up every once in a while out of different pockets. And you see a full-fledged demon, not a half demon, striding forward toward you. And it says,
I see you're the new plebe.
I see. Yes. Old timey demon nonsense. My friend, I come from a future point in history where our people have moved away from this entire Hades. Ooh, look at me. Aren't I so
Draw your sword!
And an axe appears in its hands, giant, like 7 foot long axe.
Or be struck down.
Again, I come from a point where medieval mano a mano fisticuffs is looked down upon. Also, I lack the sword that you demand that I draw before you cleave me.
Oh, this is gonna be fun.
And he cleaves you in half with the axe, and you rip apart into a million pieces, and then you feel yourself pull all the way back together again, and you're standing on the lost forbidden plains. Fire is coming out of pockets to your left and your right, and you see a full-fledged demon striding towards you.
Oh, this is gonna be so much fun.
The End of Time and Other Bothers, an improvised fantasy role-playing game set in the world of Alba Salix. Your game master is Sean Howard, with Carter Siddle as Blatt, Marisa King as Darcy, and Michael Howie as Egerton. You also heard Maggie Makar as Ananka. Additional material and sound design by Eli McElveen. Story consultant, Laura Packer. Game consultant, Stephen Smith. Join us on Patreon for early access to episodes, behind-the-scenes information, and lots more. Find out how at otherbothers.com.
Assessment montage. Do.
Roll for montage. Yeah, that's a good roll for montage.
Okay, wait. Can we have a Hughes roll instead?
What's a Hughes roll?
A John Hughes roll.
Oh.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
In the alley, the scent is stronger, overpowering. As I watch, the overhead lamps flicker and wink out one by one. God damn it. No. The girl appears briefly under the last streetlight, the headphones snug against her ears, the Walkman clasped to her hip. She's oblivious as she walks, lost in her own world.
Hey, stop! I need to talk to you!
Then she's swallowed up by the darkness again.
Helen, wait a second!
It strikes her in the gloom so fast she barely has time to scream. She falls into the edge of the lamplight and lies there, bleeding, motionless. The man's skin is scaly, flaking, and there are patches of soot on his cheeks. He stares at me with eyes like midnight. Eyes that are devoid of remorse, devoid of humanity. He's one of them. I turn and run, and I don't look back.
The Road of Shadows, a new mystery and suspense audio drama by Mark R. Healy, creator of The Strata. Listen now at theroadofshadows.com.